Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I just had to restart my recording. I'd already had it recording, and one of those things, you accidentally hit it twice.
You'll have that.
So I stopped it. Killed you. So now I had to restart it.
I'm good.
Well, it's a Monday. It is certainly a Monday. Thanks very much for listening, folks. The Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. Today, as I said last week, I've been interviewing some folks who are celebrating their business of the day this month. Every June, we have that big business of the day thing where folks fill out their have you ever filled out a sheet for business of the day, listen every day and see what the business is?
Sure I have.
Yeah, you have. I can tell. Sheldon Bunning, ladies and gentlemen, sitting across the way from me from LeMond Chevrolet Chrysler in Fairfield, Illinois. You may recognize his voice from giving away circus tickets. How'd the big circus go before we start talking about your business? How'd the big circus go? Did anybody get trampled by an elephant?
No injuries that I'm aware of. Everything went smoothly. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. We want to thank everybody that helped out and came out. And
You told me on the phone last week you didn't get a chance to see the guy get shot out of the car.
No, I did see that.
I did see that. Okay, yes. That's what I want to talk about for a little bit.
Yeah.
I was very interested. I've always wondered how they do that. I mean, I understand how it works in a gun. You know, you have a bullet in there and you have something that basically fires at the end of the bullet, and then the bullet goes out, and the shell is left. There's no particular shell in shooting a guy out of a cannon, is there?
I was not there to see if they were packing gunpowder in it like an old black powder rifle or anything like that, but I did see him leave the cannon. I heard the said boom and saw him leave the cannon.
You saw him leave the cannon?
Yes.
And how far did he go?
I think it was right at 100 feet.
Good grief. Did he get some pretty good air underneath him? Was he high up in the air? Was it? More like a Bruce Dickey skull tee shot or something like that.
No, it wasn't probably like a Bruce Dickey or a Sheldon Bunning tee shot. It was more of a – he had a little bit of arch to him.
Some arc on him. You know, I'm thinking there must be something. They must be some kind of explosive in the back of that device. I've always wondered this. And I feel terrible that I don't know.
I don't know either, but I did make it a point to step away from circus official duties to watch the guy be shot out of the cannon and I was sitting there with our fair board president, Mr. Gary Carter, and yes. I made the comment, that's got to be compressed air. And apparently he had asked because they would not give away any trade secrets.
Oh, he did ask them, and they told him, back off.
Yes.
Well, see, he's coming on the show this week, too.
Well, there you go.
Maybe I'll ask him. Maybe he has. Maybe he's been able to find out.
He may
out
have
more.
Got a closer look than I did, but I, yeah.
Well, you know, you figure there's got to be some kind of pushing device at the bottom of that cannon. How big was the cannon? Does it look like a battleship cannon or something like that? Or
it was like a giant tube on wheels is what it looked like. But it wasn't. The cannon itself wasn't as big as I'd imagine. You know, I figured it would be an eighth of a mile long, you know.
Something to get some good
battleship-esque.
Maybe some rifling on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, if it had a rifled barrel or if it was a smooth bore. But.
Did he spin in the air?
No, I don't believe so. He was.
See, if it, that was probably a smooth bore.
Yeah.
Because if it was rifled, you'd have thought he might have had a little turn to him.
Yeah. And nobody would want to see the guy get sick and throw up, you know, before he hits the giant
That
air
would
pillow.
Be. Actually, I got to tell you, that would certainly, that could possibly contribute a lot to the act. Yeah. Say the guy's spinning through the air. That sounds all right. Well, you know, I'm gonna have to make a suggestion to some potential circus that they do. All right, and the tigers and nobody got
nobody was mauled, nobody was trampled. Nope.
Thank heavens. What all animals were there? I mean, you had the tigers. What did you see? Any animals that you were not expecting? You see a bearded lady or something like that?
No, I didn't see the bearded lady or the yak woman, either one. But they had had an act with ponies, I believe. And
sounded like you had the frightening clowns.
There may have been some frightening clowns. Some people think all clowns are frightening, I guess.
Yes, yes, some people do. That is correct. Oh, I don't have a problem with clowns. Did they have a big clown car?
No, no clown car.
Could you have provided a clown car from LeMond Chevrolet Chrysler in Fairfield, Illinois, to the big Shriner Circus, had they asked.
I'm sure we could have provided if we asked.
They've quit making the Town and Country. Do you think they could have? You could have brought out one of those Pacificas?
We probably could have. Or maybe the big dually that was mentioned earlier. You could probably fit more clowns in the back of a dually, you know.
Yeah, but they're not inside there. They're going to get all wet if it rains or something. Or especially if you got one of those greasy fifth wheels in there.
Yeah.
That might make it unpleasant. So it was a success. Make all kinds of money and send it off to the kids yet?
I think so. I think they did well, so.
And did you work any other ones? You worked up at Olney, too.
I did go up to Olney the next night. They had a good crowd up there, a good smooth show.
Did you hear anything from Salem and Ducoin? Did they have good crowds again?
I haven't heard. Okay. They did two shows up in Salem, I think, Thursday and Friday. Then they headed to Ducoin for Saturday and Sunday.
Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad they had a lot of fun. That's certainly a worthy cause. I'm talking with Sheldon Bunning from Le Mans Chevrolet Chrysler here in Fairfield. Today's business of the day. Let me just do the whole read right now so that I can give this to somebody else. Today's business of the day is Le Mans Chevrolet Chrysler. Today is the final day of the Drive and Discover event at Le Mans Chrysler. Le Mans has the best savings on new vans ever. Select new Jeeps, 0% for 75 months, plus cash or rebates up to $5,000. Hey, they want your trade, and they will not be undersold at Le Mans Chrysler, 412 East Main in Fairfield, and LeMansOnline.com. Tell me about how long have you been selling for Le Mans Chevrolet Chrysler? Are you an original salesman at Le Mans? Did you start selling when you were like 12?
No, I'm an implant, but I've been there just a hair over 15 years.
No kidding. So a lot of training go into that, or how'd that work?
I think they actually just kind of turned me loose, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then made sure I wasn't running people off, you know.
How does it work up there? Now, of course, let's talk a little bit about the history of Le Mans. It was Randy Lamont that started the business after years and years of he built up a successful motorcycle business.
Yes.
He moved into the cars, didn't he? When did that happen?
I believe it was in the early part of 1989.
Randy and Kathy, and was he selling cars out at the original location out there on South 45? Trying to remember.
Yes.
He did have the cars out there. Oh, okay, I remember, because he had the lot across the street.
Yeah, they eventually
too, right?
Moved across the street and put the cars over there.
Were they already in town by the time you joined the organization?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they moved uptown in the current location we're at now, I think, in 98 or 99.
How did it come about that Randy got involved in vehicles, in full-size vehicles, as opposed to the motorcycles that he'd been selling?
Hopefully I don't step on toes here, but the story he always told me, he was going broke in the motorcycle business back in 88. And Chrysler did not have a point, you know, a sale point here in town.
Chrysler had been in town before that with Hoffe, right? Or Metcalf?
Yeah, Metcalf was the last to have it in town.
Okay, and they, good thing, that's when people still put actual brick-and-mortar dealerships in places, didn't they?
Yeah.
Are there more dealerships today than there were back 15, 20 years ago, or are there fewer?
I would say there's less.
I didn't know if they've been reducing those. I presumed they had.
Yes.
With the same type as, you know, same thing as banks, fewer banks and fewer with the online stuff. Okay. All right. So Metcalf is out of the business. There's no Chrysler Point in Fairfield.
Yeah.
Probably the closest one would have been,
I'd say, Mount Vernon.
Maybe LB up in Flora.
No, they were Ford.
LB.
But okay. They had a Wilson in Flora.
Okay.
And then was eventually bought out by the Hosick Group. But yeah, Flora, there was everything around us, but just nothing here.
Nothing in McLeansboro or anything like that. No. I'm trying to remember. So
Carmi, you know, Mount Carmel, Mount Vernon, Flora, Olney.
Just kind of left a big hole in the middle of southern Illinois.
Yeah.
All right, so Randy basically takes it over.
Yes.
Starts selling out there. When did he decide to move to Fairfield, you know?
I think they purchased our current location. I believe it was 98 or 99.
Okay, so that was their first move in.
Yes.
They had been out there till then. Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Was he selling, time flies so fast, but was he selling vehicles as well as motorcycles at the same time? The vehicles were across the street.
Yes.
And he was selling, basically he had both dealerships going, right?
Yeah.
Wow. See, we'll get a lot more of this history later on this week whenever Gary's here.
Yes.
About that lot. But, okay, so he decided to concentrate to get out of the motorcycle business and concentrate on the vehicles.
They moved uptown, like I said, 98 or 99. He actually sold...
Did he buy where he is now, where he was, where well, let me rephrase that. Did they buy the current lot first, or did they buy Brown Chevrolet first?
No, the current location is where we were at.
Okay. I'm trying to remember also you had the snowstorm involved somewhere, too.
Yes. I believe that we purchased the Brown Chevrolet from the Brown family, and we took over, I think it was October 1st, 2004.
You were there by then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm talking with Sheldon Bunning. We're talking all kinds of history here about Le Mans Chrysler. We're going to talk a lot more about what they currently do and some other things involved, also some of the people there. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM in Fairfield. Back in just a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. Appreciate you tuning in today. My guest across the way, it's Sheldon Bunning from Le Mans Chevrolet Chrysler here in Fairfield. All right, now, I always say it differently. Is it Le Mans Chevrolet Chrysler? Is it Le Mans Chrysler Chevrolet? Which one do you prefer to have first?
I think they pinned the Chevrolet Chrysler. Maybe it rolls off the tongue smoother. I don't know.
Le Mans Chevrolet Chrysler. Well, that's good. That's pretty cool. He's here talking about the business down there. We've been talking about the history. Okay, let's skip forward a little bit. Randy Lawn founded the business, Randy and Kathy. And you had – everything was going good. You had purchased the Brown Chevrolet building, right? And so you were a little spread out. Then you were going to try to concentrate where? At the current place?
Yes. He had worked, I think, about 4.5 years trying to get both manufacturers to let us combine the businesses in one location.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty tough task, but that was happening. I think it came to a head in probably the summer of 08, which I think that the manufacturers finally
agreed to it
because they had bigger fish to fry.
Right. Yeah. He'd probably just been bugging them long enough. Okay.
And there was, you know, of course, the economic trouble brewing, and they said, yeah, go ahead.
So you get that done.
We are ready for business.
Ready for business.
January 1, 2009.
Here we go. It's going to be a great new business. We've got this building and everything, and then what happens?
I think a week to 2 weeks later, we got like 12 feet of snow.
It was the first month of January. It was the first month of business in the new building.
And like 2 feet of ice and collapsed our building.
Were you there?
Yes. I was actually not inside. That's my vacation every year. Oh, I get on a little tractor and I blade the snow and... It's kind of like a Zen thing. You know, you're out there on the tractor. And
so you weren't inside, but you were there.
I was there, and then started noticing everybody, you know, running out of the building. And
what happened? Yeah, tell me what happened. Tell me what they heard, or what? Why did people start running?
I think the loud pops from the trusses busting and then the ceiling falling in the service department was the main key.
Were there vehicles in the service department at the time?
Yes. I think there was one damaged where the
ceiling.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah.
So 2 weeks into the new business, all of a sudden you're having to make all these changes, aren't you?
Yes. Yes.
Did you still have Brown Chevrolet? You still owned it at that time, right?
Luckily, thank heaven. Yeah. You know, most places don't have a spare
building.
Facility. You know, I mean, we just happened to have a spare facility, you know, a block away. So.
So you were able to, how long did you end up having to work out of Brown Chevrolet? Because as I recall, there were time lags in building and creating the new service department.
Yes.
That you'd always have one side tussling with another side. I just went through having a tree hit my house. Insurance occasionally takes a little time. Let's put it that way. Is that well put?
Well, you know, it wasn't even an insurance thing. We've got a local company that takes care of our insurance, and they were super. They were, after about the fourth pop of the truss, they were down there helping, you know. I mean, they're great guys. I think we had taken about 60 to 90 days to consolidate everything, and then we moved 50% of our stuff up there. And then moved 100% of it back in like 3 days.
That takes a lot of help, doesn't it?
That was a lot of work. We were there from mid-January of 2009. Our new facility was completed. I think we moved in day one, April 1st, 2012.
Wow. So yeah. It was so
3 years.
So three years. And at that point, that's just amazing. Okay, well.
And the main reason for the such a long period of time was that you asked earlier about the dealerships, the number of dealerships, you know, if there's more or less.
Yeah.
They were actually in the economic crunch. They were going through and closing dealerships.
Yeah. And they probably were wondering whether they should go ahead and keep you guys going there.
Yes. And Randy did not want to make that kind of an investment if they were going to jerk the rug out from underneath his feet. So.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
When we didn't get our letter saying to go home, we started a new building.
Well, that's good. You had to wait to get the letter, though.
Yeah, we had to make sure we weren't on the list.
There you go. That'd have been nice if somebody let you know.
Well, we all kind of sweated every day the FedEx truck pulled up, you know.
It would have been kind of nice. I had somebody calling in. I know who it was, but I didn't know if you wanted to take a call or not. Okay, so you're back in the building. Who all works there now? Who all will people, if somebody walks in to LeMond Chevrolet Chrysler and they're looking to either buy a car or get some service, who do they see?
Well, if they're looking to buy a car, there's myself. Dennis Downs has been there for years. Gabe McGahey
is
as
Dennis,
well.
Are you a Dennis on the west side?
Yes, Dennis, myself, and then Matthew Rogers are on the west side.
Okay.
And then you've got
where's Gabe's office? I
thought Gabe he was on the west side. No, Gabe and Jeff are on the east side.
Oh, okay. Okay. So one of you folks will be able to help somebody with whatever they're looking for, the initial contact.
Yes, that is correct.
And who else is in the office there?
Patrick Albert does the F&I and the finance portion and the paperwork. Sam Holmes, she's our receptionist and our internet or web guru.
I talked to her the other night. She was I did not realize who I was talking to every time whenever we call you. And she was the lovely and talented Miss Sam Holmes. She did a great job.
Abby Vinson sits in a glass cage right behind
her.
What
does Abby do?
She is kind of like the payables and receivables. And
okay.
We all wear lots of hats.
Yeah, you kind of have to. Then you get out there toward the parts department, too, don't you?
Well, you've got Teresa, you know, Teresa Land back there.
Sure.
Yeah, she's the head of the snake. She's the...
I was going to say, what's Teresa do?
Everything. She's the head of the snake, so...
Is that right?
She's the IT director.
I was going to say, does she enjoy having it put that way?
She loves it. Loves it.
She's been there a couple of days.
Yeah. I also labor. She's the head of the complaint department, too, you know. So, I mean, so.
Well, you see, now that's good.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to have somebody.
Complaints
there.
From customers or from you guys?
Maybe employees, you know. I mean, we do our best to make everybody happy, but, you know, on occasion. But, yeah.
Do you have folks that concentrate on on one particular product versus, I mean, do you have folks who concentrate on the Chevy side? If somebody comes in, says they're looking for a Chevy, they'll get a particular salesman or
no?
You guys can sell
all. We do it all.
Which do you prefer selling, or do you have a preference?
I prefer to sell what they want to buy.
I'm going to say, don't sit here. You're going to sit here and tell me, oh, no, nothing at all. You like them both, don't you?
I do.
You're so full of beans.
I do. I will say that I guess I've been more of a Chrysler guy since I've been there, you know.
Well, now that's probably true because you drive what you sell.
Yes.
That's one of the things that you like to see in your car salesman, I would think. All right, now car salesmen, used car salesmen have a bad rap. I don't know if you're aware of this.
I think that we're somewhere down there around that, you know, with a lawyer or maybe, I don't know, we're at the bottom of the heap, you know.
You guys try not to really let that, I'm trying to think of a way to ask the question. You try not, you're not the hard sell like the average used car salesman person.
We're pretty laid back up there. I mean, we're in a small community. We know everybody through the door.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we've all got the philosophy. You know, we want to treat people how we'd want to be treated. So, you know, I mean, there's no sense in throwing their keys on the roof or.
Does that happen?
There's always tales of war.
I want to hear some, I tell you what we'll do. I was going to take a break, but I'm not quite there yet. Let's finish running through the rest of the service department and those guys back there. Then we'll tell the used car salesman tales, okay, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
All right.
You know, our parts department, Jeff Gruner's been there for
How
years.
How long has Jeff been there?
Forever. I'm not sure. He was south of town.
Yeah. He was down there with he and Bucky worked together, right?
Well, Bucky was in the motorcycles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Laura Griswold, she's in the parts. She detailed cars for us for years.
I was going to say, do you still have the detailing team down there in the old Sundrop building?
No, they're across the street where we purchased those buildings from Joe's Body Shop.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And they built a new one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Joe built the new building. We purchased two of the other ones that were there.
Oh, okay.
But, Jeff and Laura are the mainstays in the parts. Gabe's boy, Gage, helps out when need be. Got a super awesome guy in there. He's always
Gage's brand new.
Yeah, he's been there for on and off for a couple years.
Has he really?
Yeah, wow. Since he was able to drive.
I gotta say, he just graduated from high school, didn't he?
No, he's going to be a senior this year.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I didn't mean to put him. So he's getting ready for football, I guess. Then right?
I think he's going to do basketball.
Is
he's running
just basketball?
Cross country this year.
Wonderful,
so.
Wonderful. Okay, so you've
D Young helps us out. He works for the city full time. He's the head of the city garage, but he comes out and helps us out in the afternoons on the weekends.
Well, that's pretty nice.
He's in the parts and has done a lot of the stuff in service.
You've had Dustin out there in service for years.
Yeah, old Bernie, Dustin Bradham. He's been out there for a long time on the Chevrolet. He's a Chevrolet or General Motors technician. Jason Thomason is the General Motors service manager.
So you do separate service for the two dealerships?
Yes, we do.
It's I say two dealerships. It's one dealership, but it's two.
Yes.
Two assignments.
It's actually two separate businesses. I mean, in under one corporation. But
is it really?
Yeah.
Who's the Chrysler service side?
Jeremy Hill.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy's been with us for 2-3 years.
Now, out there, some of the service bay guys.
Got Alan Atterbury. Jeremy.
I warned you that I was going to be
asking.
I know you
put me on the spot. Jeremy Horton. Shane Tudeloff, they work kind of the oil change racks.
Uh-huh.
We've got, I guess on the Chrysler side, if I go in order, we've got Cody Courtright as a service technician, Lucas Titzer, Brad West. On the General Motors side of things, we have Dustin Bradham. Canner Carpenter has been there a couple years. Great addition. Super sharp guy. Great mechanic. And then Farron Elliott on the General Motor Tech.
Okay, now there's two guys that we haven't mentioned that I know work there. Where does Sean fit in?
Sean is the resident laborer. He is the jack of all trades.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and then you've just got a new hire out there in service.
That was Alan. Yes.
And
then
Harley.
Harley is on the he's on the far end, I guess. But yes,
I didn't mean to.
You stumped me already.
Harley's got he's the one with the new toy.
Yes, he
tell
is
me the, about the new toy, the big Hawkeye thing.
They've been after us for years to expand our services. That's why we got into the tire business.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we can offer another convenience. They don't have to leave, but we now have a new alignment rack.
Have you seen that thing in action? I've seen it in action before. Those are fancy.
Yes. Yes. Latest and greatest technology.
Makes cars that curve the wrong direction go straight, don't they?
That is correct.
And Harley's in charge of that?
Yes, Harley's in charge of that.
Well, that's pretty cool.
He's a very good asset. We've actually hired another technician. I don't think he starts quite yet, but he will be there in another week or so. So we've put on another tech.
Well, that's the wonderful thing is that you're busy enough to be able to, or to need to have to do that, isn't it?
Yes.
Other than the fact that means the cars are breaking down. Is that what that says?
We've sold a lot of stuff and have a lot of great customers. And
I was just teasing you. The cars aren't breaking down.
Believe
that's
it or
all
not.
I meant to say.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
They do build them better. We don't see the warranty work that we had years ago.
How recently? How recent is the change, do you think, that the cars have been built a little bit more solid to last longer?
I'd say in the last 10, 15 years. I mean, this, you know, it's just steadily, a lot of the warranty stuff is steadily. I mean, we still have it, but it's steadily declined.
Are people owning cars longer nowadays than they used to 15 years ago when you got into it?
It kind of goes in cycles. It seems like there'll be there's folks that drive the wheels off of them, and we've got guys that trade every year, every 2 years.
Yeah. Do you classify your customers as some that trade? Do you know when you're dealing with somebody who you've dealt with before that, this is a car that my customer might go with for 4 or 5 years, or this is somebody who might look at a different car in a year or two?
Like,
you're trying to put people into whatever they want, anyway.
Yes, yes. I mean, we try to, what they want, we want to facilitate for them. But, we have people that do. We've got guys that buy one every 10 years, our customers, women,
We were 13, weren't we?
Yes.
Dodie and I.
Yes.
We had a Jeep for 13 years before we changed.
You guys will personally starve a car salesman to death, see?
That's where I was trying to get you to go. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. I'm the same way, though. I don't drive a lot of miles, and I'll drive one for 10 years.
Well, see, now, folks, that's the thing. You're ready to handle either kind of customer, isn't it? Or Le Mans is, right?
Yeah, we try to be very helpful. I mean, it's a very large investment anymore.
Oh, absolutely. I've got Sheldon Bunny here. He's going to give us the fun used car salesman stories when we return here on WFIW on the Bruce Dickey Show, AM 1390 and 104.9 FM. Back after these.
Tying a noose in the back of my mind. If you thought that you were making your way to where the puzzles and pagans lay, I'll put it together. It's a strange invitation. Sweep up my lazy bones, and we will rise in the cool of the evening. I remember the way that you smiled when the gravity shackles were wild. But something is vacant when I think it's all beginning. Drifting along in the same
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in today. It's 9:48. It is 86 degrees on the way up to 93 today. Do you notice seasonality? Shelton Bunning's my guest here from Le Mans. Do you notice seasonality when it comes to buying cars? Do people buy it? I mean, we always kind of talk about summer's coming up, you need a new car for vacation. Or winter's coming up, you need a new car to be able to go four-wheel driving or whatever you're going to do. Do you notice seasonality at all?
Yeah, there's some trends. There's definitely some trends. You know, the incentives and things have changed so much in the last few years. You know, used to everybody would wait till the fall or the end of the year to get the best deal, you know. But I've seen...
It's not really like that anymore.
No, I mean, there's been happenstance where you've seen the biggest incentives on the trucks in spring, you know, of the year or different vehicles. It's sporadic.
Does it just kind of depend on does it kind of depend on the manufacturers themselves, how well they're doing at the time, I wonder?
Oh, I'm sure that plays a factor into it, you know. I mean, they all want market share. I mean, we've joked about on our morning show calls about the bean counters sitting in the room with the green visors, chain smoking.
Reason I ask is you've got Ram deals now at $10,000 off.
Yeah, we have up to 10 grand off our new heavy-duty truck.
Which, to me, even though vehicles are more expensive than they were years and years ago, that is, you're looking at 15, 20, 25% off of a vehicle right there, aren't you?
Yes. You know, we're advertising. General Motors has done this kind of sporadically over the last year, but we've got, I think there's a Sonic down there, 23% off.
That's just shocking.
New car. I know, well-equipped little new car, good fuel mileage. $14,488, I believe, is the price on it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
26% off of a new loaded Impala LTZ. That's over 10 grand.
Okay, now, as a salesman, you've got these numbers. People see the movie, see television shows, and they think that, oh, well, you know, he's going to go in and... You see on Fargo. You remember the movie Fargo where...
I've not seen the whole thing, but I've seen bits, and they had the TV show too, didn't they? When they're a TV show,
TV show's different. The movie Fargo, the movie Fargo. He's basically talking to a customer, and he says, "Oh, I need to go check with my manager." And then he goes, walks to his manager's office. He's sitting there watching hockey, and he, "So, what's the score?" And, you know, waits a few minutes, and then goes back. I mean, you probably hear more used car salesman horror stories than anybody in the world.
We do.
What are some good ones that you and the reason I ask you this, because you guys don't pull those games, do you?
No. You know, if we make you happy, you may tell two people. If we make you mad, you're going to tell 100 people are going to know about it before dark. You know,
well,
what I mean?
Now that's probably true.
That is true. Small town, small community, but yeah. I've heard of the stories of some of the big dealerships where they've thrown the keys on the roof to.
That can't you be know true. What I mean? Can't be true. Is that really true?
I've had people tell this that they've witnessed it. You know, I've never.
Throw the keys on the roof.
Yeah. Don't want you leaving, so they're going to try, you know.
I can tell you some stories. I can tell you a story about a big dealership, doggone it, what they did to my mother. And my mother went to, and she would probably not be happy with me telling this. You've got a phone call. You want to take a call?
I do. That's fine.
We'll see. I know who this is. Good morning. You're on the radio. Keep it clean.
Jack Pompous. It's Jack Pompous.
Yeah, Jack.
I've bought a vehicle or two off them guys, and I'm really pleased with them.
There you go.
Well, thank you, sir. We aim to please.
Okay. We'll see you.
Have a great one.
Bye.
That's not Jack Klompus. Jack Klompus is somebody from Seinfeld. But that's nice of him to call.
That's right.
Yeah.
He probably works for Vandalay Industries, I would say.
I think that might be. Yeah, I think he probably, you know who that was then, don't you? She goes to this place over there. There's no VW place. She buys VWs.
Yeah.
She would shop local, but there's no VW place here. And so she goes to this place. She's going to get a oil change, right? Well, she has an appointment, too. And these oil changes take a good amount of time because they do the thorough checks and that kind of business. At least that's what they're telling her. She's there for hours. And and apparently the manager there liked her car, liked the look of her car. So they basically bought her car off of her and put her in a new one during the same afternoon when she went in for an oil change. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, that wasn't really the intent, But if she's happy with it, she's happy with it. And she's happy with it.
Well, that's good.
And that's fine. However, her son was not all that happy with it. They told her they overpromised is what they said. And then she told me what they promised, and I asked them about it, and yeah, they overpromised. I guess my point is, you go to the bigger places like that, you do run. It's even though you say, and I can't imagine somebody throwing keys on the roof, but there are delaying tactics that keep people there, aren't there?
Yes, there is. I've heard of somebody that was over to a dealership west of here a good ways, and they had to get the sheriff involved to get their keys and their title back. You know, I mean,
are you serious?
Yes. I mean, I just.
Now, that's a true story.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a way to make a customer for life, you know?
Well, you see, now that's the point. That's what you're kind of after, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
You're looking to sell the next car.
Yes.
You're not looking to just make your money off this first car, are you?
That is correct.
Talking with Sheldon Bunning, what other stories do you, nightmare stories have you ever heard from anybody? I mean, I hate
the. That's, that's some of the worst, you know? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I mean, they.
Anything funny? I mean, like used cars. Have you ever done the run over the dog thing?
No test drive. No test drive with Toby. You know,
drive with Toby.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever seen the movie Used Cars, there's a scene where a fella is selling a car and the lot dog.
Yeah, the beagle.
The beagle comes up and oh, look, it's Toby, and Toby just wants you to buy this car, and so they go to do a test drive. Do a test drive with Toby, but yeah. Toby wasn't in the car.
The kids all wanted to go with a test drive with Toby.
Kids wanted to go on the test drive with Toby. That's right, and he slides the tire, the rock underneath the tire. You don't do that, huh?
No, Toby was trained to play dead and.
Oh, you killed Toby.
You killed my dog, mister. You know, I mean. We want to go above and beyond.
Have you ever cast a fishing line across the street with a $10 bill attached to it?
No.
See, that's the other thing. You don't have, a big style car dealership across the street.
No. We haven't, broke into the presidential address or. The NFL championship with illegal commercials,
See, now that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or lit the competitors' cars on fire or blowed them up.
That's too high. Yeah, I almost said it.
Marshall Lucky.
Okay. What's new? What's next for Le Mans? What are we going to do in the future?
Keep plugging away. Like I said earlier, we've hired Harley Fry.
You got new service coming in next week.
Got a new tech coming in here, I think, next week or the week after. So.
Well, I mean, you started taking on the tires. What's, I guess, probably just expand the service department. You were kind of pushed into that anyway, right?
Yes, that is correct.
How's the tire business doing?
We do well. We offer a great service. We have probably the most technologically advanced tire machine and balancer in the area.
You know, the manufacturers, they do require a lot of their dealerships, don't they? Like,
yes, there's
investment
a lot of,
investment back into the community.
A lot of hoops to jump through.
Really?
Yes.
What's next on the for Chevy and for Chrysler? Do they have? And we just have the brand new Pacifica coming out.
Yes, we have
taking away the Town and Country. Which shocked me, by the way.
Well, they were slated to drop several models. They were going to drop the Durango. They were going to drop the Journey. They were going to drop the Grand Caravan and the Town and Country. The Grand Caravan, the Journey, the Durango will all be back for 17. The Jeep Wrangler, of course, the Jeep people, and I'm one of them. I mean,
yeah,
they get a little bit up in arms thinking that we're going to mess with the Wrangler, but the Wrangler is set for a redesign for 2018.
Blasphemer! Heresy!
I know. It's the whole interweb is up in arms, I mean, they're probably camped out at Columbus, Ohio in front of the Jeep facility, I mean.
They probably, the thing is, we're laughing about it. They probably are. They're probably Jeep people just very angry about any potential changes. That Wrangler style now, it's 20 years old.
Well, it's right. The current design is 9.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah, 2007 was the first year for the new JK Wrangler with the two-door, and then the introduction of the four-door.
I tell you what, you guys, here you go, changing things, just making people unpleasant, making people unhappy.
They don't ask my opinion on the changes.
So. You just sell them.
And we've got a Jeep pickup truck rumored to be coming. So
I see. Now I'm looking forward to that.
And a new luxury Jeep model coming as well.
Really?
Yes, they're bringing back the Grand Wagoneer nameplate.
How about that? Is it going to be a Woody? Like the old ones were?
I hope so.
Sheldon, thanks very much for coming
on. Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for having us, guys.
Today's business day is LeMond Chevy Chrysler. Have a great day, folks.